Morning. You all right? I hope you are. I am all good. Another morning. What is it? Tuesday now. It's just ticked past 8 in the a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, or British Summer Time, isn't it? 8 in the a.m. on the Tuesday, 31st of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
I can't hear you. I think they'll be able to, but I can't hear you.
There you go. That should be sorted.
No, still can't hear you. All right. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it isn't a thing. Should we just jump straight into it? Okay. We've got this morning, corporate mainstream media are banging on about this morning, is Scott Mills sacked by the BBC and Starmer's 48-hour ultimatum. Harry, could you bring that up on the screen? There you go. Scott Mills sacked by the BBC. So anyone who's foreign or doesn't really watch or listen to the radio, BBC Radio, who's Scott Mills? Be forgiven for asking. Yeah, he's just a BBC radio presenter dude. I mean, obviously it's the BBC. They get giant numbers. It's like a few million tune into that every morning. Radio 2. And it's like their premier radio slot. And whoever has that slot is sort of semi-famous. Well, very famous in radio world. And like usually the same person will have it for years and years. And then when they get replaced at some point, it's like, who's going to be next? Like after this Scott Mills has been fired, it's like, oh, is it going to be Sarah Cox? Is it going to be Rylan? Is it going to be like Vernon Kay is going to get the job? Who's going to get the job? I never listen to the radio. Never have. Never have listened to the radio. Hardly ever. I never get in and think, oh, well, no, I'll pop the radio on. I don't own a radio set. You can get the radio on your laptop as well. I never think, oh, I know. I won't bother watching YouTube. I won't bother watching something good. I'll put the radio on. I mean, but millions of people still do, though. Millions of people still do. Probably older people. Is that fair to say? All right, so Scott Mills, man in his early 50s, a gay man. He's got a male husband. Okay, so he's been sacked. Now, that is all over the front pages of the news today. They've decided they're getting bored with Iran. The cabal of Fleet Street editors, yeah, a bit bored of Iran, lads. Yeah, should do something else. Can dogpile on Scott Mills, who may or may not have done something terrible. Let's all go with that, mostly. And Starmer's 48-hour ultimatum, which is to junior trainee doctors. They've got a union, and they're always asking for more. Always asking for more, and they've threatened to do a strike, a walkout. A bit out of order. If you're a doctor, a policeman, or a fireman, don't do strikes. Don't do strikes. That's really scumbag behaviour. But the junior doctors, those of whom are like foreign or second, third generation immigrants, they don't care. They don't seem to care. Getting paid much more than minimum wage. Still not a great wage, but they're getting paid all right. And where they've struck and played all sorts of games over the last few months or years, they got all sorts of concessions out of the government, like the previous Rishi government and stuff. One of them was like 4,000 new jobs, 4,000 more of them. And Starmer saying, I'll give you 48 hours, otherwise I'm rescinding that. It's all a bit weak, isn't it? The strikes of yesteryear were so much more badass. Nowadays, strikes are like a teachers' union, say, or these junior doctors' unions. They say, if you don't meet our demands, we'll walk out for a couple of days. Or a rail union, we'll walk out for a couple of days. We'll definitely come back after that. But and like the government side will be like, oh, well, we might, this little concession we already gave you, we might rescind that. It's all a bit milquetoast compared to how strikes used to go down. Strikes used to be, the whole point of it was that you walked out indefinitely until you, the workers, either couldn't hack it anymore you had to come back with your tail between your legs because your family was starving, or the government crumbled. Stakes used to be a lot higher. I'm not saying it's necessarily better that way, but strikes these days, like everything else, just seems like a wet lettuce version of how things used to be. Like a weak, lame shadow of the way things used to be. All right, anyway, let's get into it. The Guardian. Ugh. The Guardian. Okay. There's Scott Mills. There's a picture of gay Scott Mills. If you should get into the story then. Sacked by the BBC over claims about conduct. So, the story is that we don't know exactly what he did. Because Scott himself and the person or people, I think it's one person, who might have been his victim, neither of those people have come out and said exactly what it is that he's supposed to have done, what his conduct was that is so bad. However, what it seems like it is, what a lot of the reporting is, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't care about Scott Mills or BBC Radio at all, other than to just say, you know, the BBC is some sort of den of sex criminals. The number of sex criminals, full-blown, shown to be convicted sex criminals that come out of the BBC is mad. Mad. Like way, 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 way above average for like the general population. I mean, how many sex criminals are there per 1,000 people, per 10,000 people, right? At the BBC, way above that. Anyway, this is the latest one. He hasn't... So, okay, the story is, in 2016, a long time ago, 10 years ago, he was in trouble with the police over a possible... I don't even know if it was actual full-blown sexual assault or not, but some sort of impropriety with a teenage boy. Right? And the police investigated it at the time and found that there wasn't enough evidence. They didn't go through with a full trial and prosecution because the CPS made the calculation that they probably wouldn't win at trial. The Crown wouldn't win at trial, so they don't go through the trial. That's how that works. They thought there wasn't enough evidence. Okay, doesn't mean you didn't do it. It means the authorities don't think they can prove you did it. I don't know whether he did it or not. I don't know what he did. Okay, so all that happened in 2016, 10 years ago. And then last week, the BBC made a decision. What new or more information they got, or whether other news outlets, other news organs told them, we've got some dirt and we're going to go to print with it about old Scott Mills, your star radio dude, morning breakfast show, flagship dude. I don't know any of that. But the BBC obviously got some new information. And they decided they're just going to fire him straight away, or more or less straight away. He was taken off the air Tuesday or Wednesday last week. And then over the weekend, the BBC told him, you're fired, dude. You're completely, your contract's done. You're not under investigation or anything like that. No, you're done. You're fired. So you go, that's not usually how the BBC do things. Usually they do an investigation and keep someone on the books for like weeks or months while they do an investigation. They don't usually just fire you outright. It suggests that they've got some sort of terrible slam dunk information, a scoop. But so far, the chattering classes, the normal people like you or I, don't actually know what he's supposed to have done. What is this thing in 2016? Just a historical relationship. That's the thing that's come out, they keep saying. It's to do with his personal conduct and a historical relationship. That's it. That's all we know. And that he was sort of in trouble with the police in 2016 to some degree, which didn't end in a trial in any way. That's it. Okay. That's it. That's all over the front pages. All right. Let's move on. Scott Mills. Who cares, really? Trump threat to obliterate all Iranian power plants. Yeah, time's running out for the Iranians and their power plants. The Donald's set to blow them up, basically. They don't open the Straits of Hormuz and just basically accept defeat, which they're not going to do, does it? Everything about the Iranian regime tells me they're not going to do that. So they're going to call the Donald's bluff. But you don't really call the Donald's bluff, so you don't really call the Pentagon's bluff. They just do the thing they say they're going to do, don't they? All right. Small boat deal close to collapse over safety fears. Yeah. Worried about the safety of the migrant people. Not the safety of the natives of this island and who the people are coming in, what kind of backgrounds they've got, their rate per capita of crime. Not the safety, not our safety, the safety of the boat crossing migrant people themselves. They might drown in the channel. Yeah, that's also a story this morning. Looks like the deal, for what it's worth, which is almost nothing, comes to an end at like midnight tonight. I read that somewhere. I think that's the case. Or midnight last night or midnight tomorrow night. I don't know. Soon. Very soon. But what's it worth anyway? The French police just simply aren't stopping the boats, are they? So. All right, the Mirror. Something about Patsy Kensit, don't care. Something about Stephen Lawrence, don't care. Exclusive, new BBC shame, sacked Mills in 2016, cop probe. Star questioned over sexual offences against teen, but case dropped due to lack of evidence. Okay, we've been through all that, so won't spend any more time on Scott Mills. Practising homosexualist Scott Mills. The Sun, another scandal hits Beeb. I'm not even going to go into any more details. I've told you everything you really need to know about it. This dude got sacked from the BBC. Radio. Maybe Sarah Cox or Vernon Kay get a new job. BBC crisis as another scandal hit presenter is sacked. See, they've decided on their little WhatsApp message. We're going with Scott Mills tomorrow, yeah, guys? Everyone do a Scott Mills front page, yeah? Don't mention Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein and George Osborne and the fifth Baron Rothschild, yeah? Okay, Scott Mills it is, yeah, got it right. Epstein, though, they will mention and his daughters, Eugene and Beatrice. I'll mention those, okay. The Daily Star, what have we got? Oh, Scott Mills, J-Lo, looking a bit rough, to be honest, and Scott Mills again. Oh, Scott Mills on the Daily Telegraph. Scott Mills. Starmer's 48-hour ultimatum to doctors. Junior medics told to call off strike or 4,000 new jobs will be scrapped. Big stuff, isn't it? Cliff edge stuff. Beatrice and Eugenie, those two princesses. Andrew Mountbatten's two daughters there. They're probably not going to be invited to the palace for Easter. It's a missed Easter service. Well, the service and the palace after. Not going to be invited to Easter. Estranged cousins. The Cousins War. Britain faces biggest hit from Middle East energy crisis, warns IMF. We'll see. We can refine crude into gasoline, petrol, ourselves. Diesel, not so much. We can get crude from anywhere else. We can get crude from the United States. The United States makes more crude, like West Texas or whatever, loads of different, makes more crude than it needs. It's a net exporter of crude. So worst comes to the worst. We'll just get all our crude from the United States. But then turning that crude into petrol and diesel, we can do petrol, but not diesel. I mean, again, we can do diesel, but we can't make enough diesel for our own domestic use. So not only do we obviously have to import crude, we actually have to import some of, like a quarter or a third or a fifth of diesel, already refined diesel. Well, that'll be expensive. That'll be expensive. Relatively expensive. If you've got a diesel car, then, you know, probably worst hit. The price of oil, let's talk about oil briefly. Price this morning, or an hour or so ago, an hour and a quarter ago, something like that. West Texas was about 100, 102. And Brent was at like 112 odd. So again, expensive. Not really anywhere near all-time high. Not insanely expensive. But higher. There's no doubt about that. I'm not saying it's not higher. And plus, as this thing goes on, the difference between the actual raw price of a barrel of crude against what you actually pay at the pump will diverge as well. I.e., the price of a barrel of crude might not be insanely higher, but the price of your actual petrol at a petrol station does still keep ticking up for all sorts of complicated reasons. So, okay. France digs its feet in over migrant crossing. Yeah, they don't help. They won't help us. They're not interested in helping us. It's less foreign chancers and criminals in their country. And they're antagonists of ours. Always have been. It's obviously not like the 14th century, the Hundred Years' War, right? It's obviously not like the Napoleonic era where we're actually full-blown enemies. But they're not our friend. Don't think the French are our friend in any way, like properly, diplomatically, on a national level. No, they're not. No. Rivals, really. Essentially rivals in all sorts of senses. Still, to this day. The Times, the venerable Times. This old Doris reckons sex is great in your 80s. Do you love? Not interested. Starmer gives reckless junior doctors 48 hours to call off strikes. Showdown of titans. The junior doctors and Sir Keir Starling. A battle of wills for the ages. Okay. War brings in £20 million a day extra in energy taxes. Windfall may be wiped out, though, by borrowing costs. Yeah, Britain's borrowing costs are insane. Just the amount of interest we pay on our borrowing. Insane. Our economy could or may well collapse at some point. Loads of countries are like that. They just spend way more than their GDP. And then borrow more to keep spending. Borrow so much that the interest repayments on the borrowing is unsustainable. Just keep cramming hundreds of thousands of more people on, most of which, or maybe not most, but a lot of which are a net drain on the economy. What do you expect? An NHS bill which is absolutely gigantic, astronomical, unsustainable, unaffordable. And then you put some leftist Karen who isn't an economist in as the Chancellor, who quite clearly doesn't know what she's doing about economics. Make the Chancellor Exchequer some non-economist woman who idolises socialists. Is that the most disastrous thing you could do? Short of someone like John McDonnell or something? Slightly less worse than John McDonnell, so still terrible. This is a stupid, article from The Times. I got about halfway through it and then couldn't even. World's unhappiest places are just so macho. And it's a story about in places in the world where there's sort of more manliness or macho-ness, places where men are men, right? Places like, what was it? They listed a few places like, what was it? Ghana, Iran, Nigeria, places like that, where the male paradigm is very, very strong. They're the most unhappiest places in the world. In other words, it's making the argument, be a soy boy. Be a weakling soy boy. Cuck. Be a weak-wristed nothing man. Right, the Times. Front page. There you go. Be a weakling morally and physically and ethically. That's what he's arguing for. Front page. Print. Front page. The Times. All right, the eye paper. Should we read the quick blurb? Not sure if it's worth it this morning. Should we read it? We'll quickly run through it. PM meets UK fuel bosses as prices rise at the pumps. Prime Minister urges business leaders to help limit fallout from Iran war during number 10 summit with bosses from energy, shipping and banking. Public wants action on food prices, petrol and home energy, says Starmer in call for joint effort. Okay, so in the cabinet room, that's the cabinet room in number 10. These are not other government cabinet ministers. They're sort of the titans of industry, important people in business. He sat around going, let's all pull together, guys. This needs to be a joint effort, guys. Come on. Just looks super weird and weak. Why would you do that? It's like a performative thing. You could should do that anyway, but like, to let the cameras in and do it on camera, it's just really, really performative to me, seems. Okay. Fuel prices in the UK climb, with petrol rising to £1.52 a litre on average, and diesel up to £1.81. That is a lot, isn't it, for diesel. Still, I mean, keep it in some perspective. It's more than it was, but I don't feel like it's completely insane, like the price of crude, still. As much as the corporate mainstream media want you to panic and think it's insanely high, it's not insanely high. Okay, it goes on to say, typical petrol car now costs £10.55 more to fill than at the start of the war, or £21.35 for diesel. So to fill your petrol tank up, £21.35 more than it already was. So that's a lot, isn't it? It's not nothing. Don't feel like, I don't want to downplay it unnecessarily, but it's not absolutely insane. And for petrol, £10.55 more than it was. If you're right on the breadline, the thing is, if you own a car, if you own a car, then you've got enough money for insurance, road tax, MOT, various other things, enough to fill it up anyway. So if you've got that sort of wealth, i.e. you're not in true poverty, even if you haven't got much money, but you're not in true poverty, you can afford to buy and run a car, another £10 on top of what it already was to fill it up, it's probably not going to bankrupt you, is it? And not that it's good. I'm not trying to say it's good or fine or anything. All I'm saying is, keep it in some perspective. People that drive and are very close to the breadline probably extremely annoyed with that take, but I'm just saying, right, it's not £100 more. All right. It's not good, though. I'm not saying it's good or it's fine or get over it. It is bad. It's not ideal, just to be clear. Brent at $112 a barrel. Expensive, not crazy. PM and fuel execs discuss UK's contingency plan for lower supplies of diesel and jet fuel. RAC instructs drivers to fill up as normal. Make a deal soon, or America and Israel will obliterate Iran power plants. Trump threatens, quote, new and more reasonable, quote, regime in Tehran. So yeah, he's like, he'll threaten them and literally in like the next sentence or the next breath, call them new and more reasonable. So it's sort of a carrot and stick at exactly the same time. trying to be nice and trying to talk about making a deal in Pakistan or something, but also if you don't, we'll destroy you. Okay, that's Trump's type of diplomacy. Sometimes it works, doesn't he? Sometimes he does get exactly what he wants by being like that, by doing that. He's at war. Diplomacy is done differently once you're actually at war, isn't it? It is a different beast. Once missiles and or bullets are flying. Okay. Easter bank holiday, because it's Easter next weekend, isn't it? Set to be the busiest on UK roads in 4 years, with 21 million trips planned. All right, fascinating. The Daily Express, it's a good one. Labour urged to help Britain's drivers now. And Scott Mills. Hey, is the Express editor in the group? Someone message him. We're going with Scott Mills. The Financial Times. Well, they didn't get the Scott Mills memo. It's probably on page two, but... Okay, the Financial Times. Conflict talks. Trump and Iran at odds. Yeah, breaking news. Something about AI, French AI. The head of Air Canada can't speak French. The Metro. Ugh. All right. Okay, they go with something completely different. In that WhatsApp group, the Metro editor say, no, I'm going with the story about the house that blew up once. Tenant blew up home after £80 rent rise. He died in it. He was in the house and he deliberately blew it up with himself in it. It was a while ago. Was it like a year or two ago? But now the investigation or something is finished. Something like that. So yeah, this guy. He rented a house and the landlord put the rent up by £80 and that sent him over the edge. And he was like, well, I'm not paying it. And they're like, You've got to, bro. And he was like, no, I'll blow the whole house up if you make me pay more rent. And they were like, and then he just did it. With himself in there, like a suicide. There's a nervous laugh there. It was a suicide. Bit out of order, really, on the neighbours, isn't it? Talk about a nightmare neighbour. Yeah, with the gas oven. He had a gas oven. And yeah, and he said to a friend, it's going to go up with a bang, man tells friend, before dying in rubble from huge blast. Bit drastic, isn't it? I would have thought there was other things going on in his life. It wasn't like he was perfectly happy and well balanced. And then he gets a letter through about his rent. And then he does that. It's probably right at the end of his tether anyway. Oh, you would have thought, wouldn't you? But bow tie there. Don't wear bow ties. All right, that's the papers. That's the front page of the papers. Should we have a look at our poll? We did a poll, didn't we, Harry? We had a poll this morning. All right, there it is. We just asked you guys, do you care about Scott Mills? I think a valid question this morning. And you had four options. Yes, a lot. Yes, a bit. No, not really. And no, not at all. And no, not at all clearly wins with 70%. Yes, a bit. Oh, sorry. Yes, a lot. Got 2%. 2% of you really care about Scott Mills. Scott Mills' career. 5% of you care a little bit about Scott Mills and his career. And whether or not he's at liberty. 24% said, no, not really. So that's actually a decent chunk. 24% mildly care. But the vast majority of you there, no, not at all. Yeah. My people. The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few. You got your head screwed on, right? If you've tuned in live to Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC, then you know what you're doing. Don't you? You're a good person. One of the very best among us. Scott Mills. Come on. Scott Mills. Who cares? I wonder if he did, in just pure speculation, I'm allowed to speculate, whether he did something monstrous back in 2016 with that teenager. Who knows? Scott and or the teenager themselves have declined thus far to make a statement. So, what are you going to do? You would have thought he would have made a statement by now saying, I deny any and all wrongdoing. You know, I didn't do nothing. There's nothing to this. No, just silence. Doesn't bode particularly well for Scott. All right. You and I don't care. So let's just move on, shall we? Look, there's the junior doctors. Look. Thinking that they're like some sort of great. Thinking they're something special. You're a kid training to be a doctor. Stop thinking you're like some sort of badass union. Kids these days, eh? Labour overhaul non-crime hate incident rules. Will they really, though? Quickly read a tiny bit of this. The government is to change when police forces in England and Wales record non-crime hate incidents in a bid to end the policing of, quote, everyday arguments, quote. New Home Office guidance will say the forces should only log incidents that are potentially relevant to policing. Yeah. Considering you're not really solving any, hardly any, burglaries, very, very few sexual assaults, like hardly any car thefts and phone thefts, but you are spending any time whatsoever on things that aren't relevant to policing. That's mad. Isn't it? It's mad. It comes after a review by police chiefs found the system, developed in the mid-2000s, had increasingly seen officers joining to policing debates on social media. Yeah. Come knock at your door. Excuse me. We're not here to arrest you because it's a non-crime incident, non-crime hate incident. But you said something spicy on Twitter. We've come round to just try and tone police you for a few minutes. Meanwhile, next door's been burgled. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. However, the Conservatives say the move from Labour ministers does not go far enough, calling it simply a rebrand. Well, yeah, so that's what I think it will be. They're not actually going to force the police to stop doing this. Well, before now, in fact, the government, the Home Office have asked the police to stop doing it, and the police themselves say, no, we're just going to keep doing it. All right. What else do we have? There was something on ITV I thought was interesting. Look, there's a junior doctor's look. £18.62 an hour is not a fair wage for doctors, isn't it? I mean, it's not a great amount, but what? What's your problem? It's much more than minimum wage. What do you want? Our economy is in the toilet. What do you want? Are you just to take money away from migrants? I bet this dude wouldn't like that. Look at the state of it. £18.62 an hour is not enough. I mean, because you're the only thing that matters. Yeah. You're the only. The treasury is just overflowing with money and they're just not giving you enough. Because they're just miserly. Is that what it is? Or is it that our economy is completely stagnant? We can barely afford to borrow any more money. But it's all about you, is it? Meanwhile, people that actually need your care will have to go without it for a while because you're so selfish. Yeah, yeah. If you're a policeman, a doctor, a nurse, or in the fire brigade, don't strike. Try and get your demands without striking because that is scummy. Because people just go without care. Brilliant. I thought that's what you wanted to do. Junior doctors, give me a break. If they were being paid like under minimum wage or barely minimum wage or just a tiny bit more than minimum wage, maybe, but like £18.62. All right. Carg Ireland, Keir Starmer, Scott Mills, Beatrice and Eugenie. It's all the same stuff, isn't it? Got to do an inquiry into exactly how Ian Huntley got murdered. Yeah? All right, there was something on Sky News I thought was interesting. Mildly interesting. I think I have to scroll down a fair bit for it. Oh yeah, here we go, this story. Classic stuff. Going back to sort of Cold War stuff. Russia kicks out British diplomat. A diplomat. Because Moscow accused them of spying. The FSB. The FSB, which is the KGB, really. The newer version of the KGB. Russia's security service has accused the diplomat of attempting to gather information about the country's economy during meetings. Yeah, that's the way it always goes. People that are quote-unquote diplomats in the embassies around the world are, a lot of them, not all of them, of course, but a lot of them are spies. Not necessarily like a James Bond spy that will go round with a silenced pistol shooting people or anything like that, trying to break into a foreign country's secure locations. Not that type of spy. But I just go to trade delegations and I go to other embassies and I go to higher meetings inside, well, if it's in Russia, in the Kremlin, for example, or the Russian equivalent of the Foreign Office, whatever, and just glean information, just glean any and all information they can at dinner parties and stuff, like reasonably openly, like not full-blown espionage, skullduggery, secret squirrel with a balaclava on, and like abseiling into rooms at night. Not that, but still a spy, though. But still a spy. Yeah, that's what a lot of diplomats are. Anyway, I mean, it's not even that uncommon that to this day, if now and again a story will come up, Britain has expelled a Russian diplomat or three Russian diplomats. And for a tit for tat, Russia will expel three British ones. It's not just Britain and Russia, it's all countries. We don't seem to ever do anything like that to China, incidentally. We're never expelling Chinese diplomats, even though we know for a fact their intelligence services are all over us. All over us, infiltrate us in all sorts of ways, but we never do this tit for tat stuff with China, never. Anyway, Russia's found a British one. Not really that mad, not really that uncommon. The FSB, Russia's security service, claimed the British diplomat, quote, provided false information about himself. Okay. Moscow also accused him of attempting to gather information about the Russian economy during informal meetings. The FSB, the main successor for the Soviet-era KGB, said it had detected an undeclared intelligence presence. Okay, you get it. All right. There's a great book. I've mentioned it before a number of times. I think it's a great book. Some people think it's not so great, but I think there's a great book called Spycatcher by an old MI5 guy, Peter Wright. Great book. People in MI5 try and discredit it and say it's all nonsense. He was crazy. He's a crazy man, really. It's all, a lot of it's lies and exaggerations, and it's all like a vanity project for himself. A lot of other people say, no, that's a really, really incredible book. That's a really good piece of information, really good literary source of how MI5 and MI6 do stuff. I think that. Because at one point, MI5 were tasked with sort of investigating MI6, or investigating themselves, possible moles, Russian moles. This is in like the 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's spilt out into MI6. It's a complicated, really long, complicated story. Anyway, that book is really interesting in so far as specifically the Russian and British relationship, how they spy on each other. How they have spied on each other over the decades. Obviously, Spycatcher is much more in the Cold War still, 60s and 70s mainly. But it all still goes on to a much lesser degree. It's dialed down, right? It's dialed down from those days. But still pretty much the same sorts of things go on a smaller scale. Slightly less, well, quite less intense scale. But it's still the same games. It's still the same sorts of games that go on. Spycatcher, Peter Wright, consider checking it out. I think it might be on YouTube as an audiobook for free. I think, I'm not sure about that. But okay. Interesting to me. Interesting to me. Shall we have a look at the Daily Mail? What's the Daily Mail got? The Mail Online. Scott Mills. Is that the picture of the quote-unquote teenager, is it? I don't know. Okay. It sparks a crisis in the BBC. A crisis has been sparked. Okay, there was a story here. A fair few Trump things. 10 problems that may trap Trump in a nightmare scenario in Iran. Marco Rubio's dual roles leaves Trump, quote, ill-informed, quote, on harrowing Iran decisions. Former National Security Advisor charges. But Trump approval rebounds as he scrambles for peace deal in Iran. As I understand it, there's a whole bunch of people in America, TDS sufferers, which hate the war and try and paint it at every possible opportunity as terrible and evil and stupid. But a lot of Americans are up for it. A lot of Americans like it, are behind the president and stuff. And like, no, Iran is like an export of terror, and it is better for the region and the world and America if they're sort of taken out one way or another or completely degraded. Loads of Americans, loads, think that and say that. Who's to say they're wrong? Who's to say they're wrong? I'm not going to. All right, Trump's approval rebounds a little bit. Okay. Scott Mills and his £1 million home. Don't care. All right. The Express. Here's a little story. Fury at BBC for call to end dog-friendly spaces. The BBC. This is obviously The Express reporting on a BBC report that said end dog-friendly spaces. No. No. See, that's the BBC. That's auntie for you. Really subversive. Not that long ago, not many years ago, when I was younger, when I was a child, when I was a teenager, in my 20s, the BBC was sort of, it came across as essentially friendly, essentially on your side. It wasn't. It was always been lefty. It's always been extremely left since inception, since the 1920s. It's always been left. But even when I was a kid, it would come across as friendly and nice and on your side and essentially patriotic. It wasn't, but it was still wearing a wolf's coat, the sheep's clothing, like a good Fabian. It was always a wolf, but wearing its sheep clothing. Pretending it was on your side. It just doesn't. It's shed that sheep's clothing, isn't it? Now they come out with something about some foreigner trying to tell you dogs are bad. No. No. Englishmen and Brits, we love our dogs. Centuries and centuries of tradition of being great fans of dogs. So now don't tell us we can't have dog-friendly spaces. Dogs aren't welcome. You need to stop having dogs. That's a Muslim thing. We're not a Muslim country. Never been a Muslim country. So don't tell us there's something wrong with dogs. There isn't. If they've not been brutalised, nearly all dogs are extremely lovable and sweet and cute and good-natured. Man's best friend. Trying to pour scorn on dogs, domestic dogs. Psychos, you psychos. All right, The Sun, Scott Mills, the Mills crisis. Some poor 16-year-old girl got stabbed in the back in the street to death. Yep, that's Britain now. That's Britain now, that's multicultural Britain. Super. Thanks, Lisa and Andy. All right, the Trump and the US Marines. Frogmen. There'll be other special forces, won't there? There'll probably be the SEALs. Frogmen go in first. Slightly interesting story. Did a segment on this the other day for my other channel I do with Nate, The State of Politics. State of Politics. About how Kash Patel got hacked by Iranians. Kash Patel, yeah? The director of the FBI. The head man at the FBI is this Indian man. Okay, and his personal emails, not his work FBI email, but his personal email, like a Gmail account, got hacked by Iranians, and they released loads of pictures. There was nothing all that spicy or embarrassing. I mean, in and of itself, it's slightly embarrassing that the FBI didn't have that all that locked down, but nonetheless, they hacked into it and released loads of pictures. I don't know if there'll be any here of just like him on holiday. There's nothing truly embarrassing, like him in suspenders or anything, but just like pictures of him and his bird on holiday. So, not really a big deal ultimately, other than it's just like, shouldn't the FBI have encrypted or somehow made sure his personal Gmail account was safe? But they didn't. They didn't. So, all right, that's a story of mild interest. This guy, this black dude from Croydon, was about to be remanded in custody for being a drug dealer, and he just fled the court. He's still at large. Put that on the website. That's big news. Something about one of John Gotti's henchmen. John Gotti. La-di-da-di, free John Gotti. Yeah, a mobster. One of the last big New York mobsters, really. John Gotti there. A story about one of his henchmen. All right. This prostitute tried to blackmail one of her Johns. Knocked on his door saying, give me loads more money or I'll out you. Big news, isn't it? That's really big news. All right. Let's have a quick look. Oh, it's already 10-2. Oh, that's nearly the show. One thing I wanted to hear on the New York Slimes. Israel passes law to hang Palestinians convicted of deadly attacks. So the death penalty. Yeah, I'm pro-death penalty. Yeah, if it's a slam dunk case, like DNA can show beyond any reasonable doubt that you're guilty of a very, very, very heinous crime, like murdering a load of little girls or something, and it's 100% the case that it was you, so we're not executing the wrong person, 100%, then yeah. Not interested in the bleeding heart liberal argument that, oh no, you could never do it, you know. You forfeited your right to live. All right, shall we have a look at this day in history? What happened throughout, down through the centuries? What happened of note on this day? March 31st. All right, in the year 1146 AD, Bernard of Clairvaux preaches his famous sermon in a field at Vassalay, urging the necessity of a second crusade. Louis VII and Eleanor of Aquitaine are present and join the crusade. So on, Harry? On Epochs, behind the paywall, loafseaters.com, consider joining for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. I've got long form content about the Second Crusade, and specifically one about Eleanor of Aquitaine. I've only done like a biography one about a woman a couple of times. I've done The Maid of Orleans. And Eleanor of Aquitaine. And a fascinating story. Yeah, Bernard of Clairvaux was just a preacher, a priest, but an extremely influential one. You know, sometimes in society you have like a thought leader. Like they're not the Pope, they're not the King, they're not the Emperor, but for whatever reason, everyone listens to them. You know? Don't have it so much anymore, that sort of thing, do we? Because maybe because of the internet and the information age, there's so many sources of information, you don't get many sort of real. Well, I suppose you do still, don't you? You get some influencers. Right, Bernard of Clairvaux was a 12th century influencer, and what he said, loads and loads of people listened to, including like dukes and stuff. Bernard of Clairvaux says, we need a second crusade to retake the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem back off the infidel. And he gave a very, very famous speech calling for that in a field in France. And the king, Louis VII, is the king of France, and his wife, Eleanor of Aquitaine, joined in. So the Second Crusade, the biggest crusade, I think, I'm pretty sure it is. The First Crusade actually did it and got there and retook Jerusalem. Second Crusade didn't, but they did take loads more lands in the Levant and create many more Crusader kingdoms. So it's a really big thing. I've got, yeah, long-form content all about the life and career of Eleanor of Aquitaine. Fascinating stuff. Big thing in European history, really. The First and Second and Third Crusade. I've got content on all of it. Check it out. All right. On this day in 1492, Queen Isabella I of Castile and King Ferdinand II of Aragon, the Catholic monarchs of Spain, issue the Alhambra Decree expelling Jews from their kingdom. Oh, what had the Jews done to deserve that? Had they done... Hey, enough with the anti-Semitism. Even asking what might the Jews have done to have for that to happen. Why did Ferdinand and Isabel feel the need to do that? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. It's just general purpose anti-Semitism. Okay, on this day in 1657, English Parliament presents the humble petition and advice to the Lord Protector Oliver Cromwell, offering him the crown, but he declines. Yeah, that's an interesting bit of history. After King Charles I, Charles Stuart, had his head lopped off, a lot of people, the Puritans, the Parliamentarians, were like, well, what do we do now? We do still need, like, a head of state, don't we? We do still need a single personage to be at the top of things, a king. Don't we still just need a king, though? The way nearly all our bills and legislation and the constitution, as was, you know, everything Parliament does, it's all fixed in such a way that you sort of need a king still. So a big chunk of them went to Oliver Cromwell and said, will you be the king? We still need, like, the crown in Parliament, sort of thing. And he scoffed and laughed at that. He said, no, you seem to have profoundly misunderstood what these two civil wars we've had. You seem to have profoundly misunderstood what all of that was about if you're asking me to be a king. Of course I'm not going to be king. King Oliver the First. No, get real. Anyway, he took a different title, didn't he? Lord Protector. He's happy enough with Lord Protector. It's a king in all but name. A king in all but name. But okay, he actually formally declines to be king. King Oliver the First. Interesting bit of history. The Eiffel Tower opens on this day in 1889. Eiffel Tower officially opens for dignitaries and an award ceremony in Paris, France, designed by Gustave Eiffel and built for the Exposition Universelle. At 300 metres higher, it holds the record for the tallest man-made structure for 41 years. There you go, the Eiffel Tower. There's some very interesting photographs of it sort of mid-construction. It's only this high and stuff. It's kind of cool. I've been there a couple of times. I've been up to the top. It takes a while to get up. If it's a nice summer's day and there's loads of tourists, it takes ages. It would take all afternoon. You have to queue up for ages. And then you get an elevator up to that bit. Then you queue up again to get an elevator up to that bit. And queue up again to get an elevator to the top. And it's packed the whole time. Go on a day that's like off season and overcast and you might just go straight up. Took me all afternoon to get to the top. Honestly, like 3 hours, 4 hours, something like that. Good view from the top. Probably not worth it. Just go to that bit. That's good enough. Anyway, all right. Okay, the Eiffel Tower. On this day in 1920, British Parliament accepts the Government of Ireland Act, known as the Fourth Home Rule Bill. Yeah, we talked about that a few days ago, didn't we? It came up on this website. That finally it goes through. That's basically making Northern Ireland, partitioning Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and letting them rule themselves. 1920. I said before, it should have been 100 years before or more. Should have been long before 1920. It's crazy that it was, okay, to me anyway, it's crazy how late that is. 1920. If it was 1820, it was overdue. In my opinion. No. Whatever. All right. It's 05:02. Let's do the Super Chats and Rumble Rants, because I need to try and finish close to 9 this morning, if possible. I've got a busy day recording an Epox. Talking more about the Wars of the Roses. All right, let's have a look at the Rumble Rants. We've got Fortean Barber says... All the Scott Mills stuff has made me wonder if Carl has thought about setting up a radio station. The BBC really must be shut down or made to stand on its own at least. Carl setting up an actual radio station. I mean, I don't know. Of course not, but I feel like there's no point. You may as well just, like, radio's old hat, isn't it? Isn't radio just, like, pretty 20th century stuff? Aren't most people on the internet now? You may as well just do this, something like this. Radio. I think wouldn't you have to, if you actually want to completely transmit radio for yourself, don't you need to spend millions and millions of pounds on infrastructure and jump through loads and loads of hoops before you're allowed to do it? And it's just not worth it. Surely not worth it. Interesting though. Imagine if we did. Okay. TomRat247 says, I know exactly what happened in 2016 with Scott Mills to make Auntie fire him. He wore a MAGA hat and went everywhere demanding they make America great again. All right, did he? Was he a MAGA dude? Surprised they let him work at all since then. Because I believe he was picked to do that radio slot only in like 2024 or something. Okay, and the other Rumble Rant from Tom Rat again says, not a doctor, but thousands of doctors are denied spaces out of uni given to foreign locums. I don't know what you mean by locums, but given to foreigners. Most simply moved to Australia for better pay and training. Right, yeah, our DEI has gone out of control, yeah. We'd rather give the spot to some young Syrian person who wants to be a doctor rather than our own. Yeah, I've heard all about that. Yeah, a lot of them go to Australia, stuff like that. Where they won't be completely marginalised for the colour of their skin and their nationality of origin. Mad, isn't it? Mad. One more's come in, one more Rumble Rant. Casa Dwen says, good luck recording Epochs today, friend. Thank you. I will be visiting Sandal Castle this evening, where Richard, Duke of York, died. It has a fantastic view and a nice evening walk. Yeah, I'd love to visit that. Yeah, near Wakefield, right? Sandal Castle in Wakefield, just outside Wakefield. I covered that. It was either last Sunday or the Sunday before the death of Richard, Duke of York. Yeah. Hope you have a great time. I bet it's lovely. I've never been there myself. I would like to. I bet it's lovely. Okay, cool. The Super Chats, YouTube Super Chats, in at number one. Global church history, still at number one. You say, today in 1146, St. Bernard preaches the Second Crusade. And that came in at, like, even before 8 a.m. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who we were talking about. Global church history knows their stuff. But St. Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Bernard. Yeah. Preaches the Second Crusade. Changed history, the Second Crusade. We put history on a different timeline. If Bernard of Clairvaux hadn't called it that day in 1146, history would have been different. Well, there would have been eventually a Second Crusade anyway, but it would have been different. The Second Crusade was a movement en masse. En masse. Not just like a load of knights, like the Third Crusade, but a giant movement of ordinary people and peasants taking the cross and going out to the Holy Land. A giant thing. All right. Chris281 says, surely at this point it's only shocking news when it turns out that someone at the BBC is not a wrong'un. Yeah. It's easier to count the ones that aren't wrong'uns. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. The K-Man Live says, it's crazy how they all care about drivers when the evil fuel companies put up the price, but they're happy to keep rolling out ULEZ and other taxes. Right, yeah. Yeah, good point. It's like they don't care. They don't care. They might pretend they will for a little bit about drivers or whatever. Pretend they will for briefly. For you know. But they don't. Of course they don't. They see the people, these leftists. They see the people as just a cash cow. That's all it is. Yeah, you're quite right. Doesn't add up, does it? Angry Yank says, funny how you expect to both not have a sane energy policy, counting on being able to buy oil from the US to bail you out. You're a net exporter. And not be willing to help the situation. Good luck with that. Calm down, bro. Calm down. You're a net exporter of oil. You need to sell it. Non-crime hate incidents, just change the name and no one will notice. Sir Keir Starmer, probably. Yeah. Yeah, just change the name of it. Classic thing governments do. Classic things governments do. They'll just slightly change the name or something. Or the figures aren't right, so they'll slightly change how the figure is calculated. Not changing actually anything really, but just spin. Just pure spin. Yeah. Just spin it, buy themselves a little more time. The next person's name is unreadable. Oh, what is it? Jig Jag Jug XYZ. Okay. Wasn't completely unreadable, but Jig Jag Jug XYZ says, I up count minus the zero. Love you and H. Oh, cheers. 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 Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say. Very kind of you to say. LJMV says, what year was the Spanish Golden Age? Oh, well, God, Spanish Golden Age. Well, Ferdinand and Isabella is largely considered one of the periods of the Spanish Golden Age. Sort of towards the height of their powers. Or Philip II. Probably Philip II. Like the day before the Spanish Armada sailed. Then. Was it 1688? No, sorry. I mean, 1588, isn't it? The Spanish Armada. So the 1587, then. It's the Spanish Golden Age. And finally, Global Church History says, today in 1885, Bechuanaland is made a UK protectorate. I'm not sure where that is. I should know, shouldn't I? Somewhere in Africa, is it? The South Africa? I'm not sure about that. Interesting, though. Interesting. Okay, you've out-history-broed me there. Well done. Kudos. All right, that's the show. It's just ticked 3 minutes past nine in the AM on Tuesday the 31st of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Watching the Bo Show live. Amazing, brilliant. Can't ask for any more than that. It's for you. You make it. Without you, it isn't a thing. All right, until tomorrow morning then, do try and make the best of the day ahead. Your time is the most valuable thing you've got. Try and make it count if you can. I know it's not always possible, but if you can, try and do something valuable. All right. Till tomorrow morning. Take care.